Brianna is invented. What Brianna describes is not. It is happening across London right now. This is their story. In one of the more deprived constituencies in England, mental health services remain understaffed while qualified nurses cannot find positions and training places sit empty. The work that could connect people in crisis to the care they need goes undone. Not because the skills cannot be taught or the need does not exist, but because someone decided the government could not afford to make the connection.
I knew I wanted to be a mental health nurse the moment I walked into crisis at Christmas during my second year at university. I was handing out tea and sandwiches to people sleeping rough, but what struck me wasn't the hunger or the cold. It was how many of them needed psychiatric care that simply wasn't there. One man, probably about 50, kept asking me the same question every few minutes because his short-term memory was gone. He'd been discharged from hospital 3 months earlier with no follow-up. Another woman sat in the corner having a full conversation with someone who wasn't there, and when I asked the volunteers what we could do, they just shrugged. The system wasn't built for people like them. I decided that night to change my degree path. My mum, who'd spent 20 years cleaning wards at the Royal Free, said I was mad to take on that much debt for a job that would break my heart. But I'd seen what happened when the care wasn't there. Someone had to do it. I applied to Middlesex University for mental health nursing in 2019. The acceptance letter came with a shock. The NHS bursary had been abolished 2 years earlier. Instead of being paid to train as a nurse, I'd need to take out £27,000 in student loans. The admissions officer said it matter-of-factly, as though it was perfectly normal to charge people to learn skills the NHS desperately needed. I took the loan anyway. What choice did I have? I graduated in 2022 with first-class honours and a rescue cat called Marley, who I'd found as a kitten behind the Royal Free where my mum worked. I was ready to work. I applied to North Central London NHS Foundation Trust for a Band 5 mental health nurse position in September 2022. The interview went well. I knew the theory, I'd done the placements, and I genuinely wanted to be there. 2 weeks later, they called to say they couldn't offer me the position, not because I wasn't qualified, but because they had a recruitment freeze due to budget constraints. The hiring manager sounded apologetic. "We desperately need people like you," she said, "but we simply cannot afford to take on new starters right now." I tried Royal Free London NHS Foundation Trust next. Same story. The psychiatric unit was operating with skeleton staff. Agency nurses were covering permanent roles at twice the cost, but they couldn't hire permanent staff because there was no funding for new posts. It sounded reasonable. Everyone was talking about NHS budget pressures. I accepted it. I applied to Camden and Islington NHS Foundation Trust in early 2023. The hiring manager was more direct. "We desperately need mental health nurses," she told me over the phone, "but Health Education England has capped our training commissions and we cannot afford new starters." She paused, then added, "I've got wards running on agency staff who cost us 3 times what you'd cost as a permanent employee, but Treasury won't let us convert the temporary budget to permanent posts. It makes no sense, but those are the rules." That conversation bothered me. If they needed nurses, and I was a nurse, and they were already spending money on temporary staff, what exactly was the problem? I started paying attention to things I'd walked past before. Like the old Whittington Hospital Education Centre on Dartmouth Park Hill, I'd cycled past it dozens of times, but now I stopped and looked. It was sitting empty, with Follette signs in the windows. Through the dusty glass, I could see classroom chairs stacked against the walls, whiteboards still mounted, projector screens rolled up. It had clearly been a training centre. Now, it was just sitting there. I submitted Freedom of Information requests to Health Education England, NHS England, and the Department of Health. The responses took months, but the picture that emerged made my stomach turn. In 2023, 400 mental health nursing training places across London went unfilled. Not because there weren't people who wanted them, not because the universities couldn't run the courses, not because the hospitals didn't need the nurses, because Health Education England's budget was cut by AHM Treasury and they couldn't commission the places. 400 places. 400 people who could have been trained to do exactly the job I was trying to get. in the exact hospitals that told me they couldn't afford to hire me. The buildings existed. The lecturers existed. The people who wanted to train existed. The wards that needed staff existed. But someone in Westminster had decided the government couldn't find enough pounds to connect them. That's when I stopped accepting the excuse. I used to think there's no money meant the money genuinely didn't exist, like when my family couldn't afford something when I was growing up. But the government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it couldn't find enough of them to train people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the buildings were available. They were. All of them. The excuse wasn't a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. The government that issues the currency chose not to spend it into the training that would put qualified nurses into the wards where agency staff were covering gaps at 3 times the cost. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it where it was needed. I'm still here, still looking for work, still watching. But I understand now what I didn't understand when I started. Every time someone in the NHS tells you there's no funding, they're not describing a law of physics. They're describing a political decision made by people who had alternatives. And I understand that my story isn't unique to Islington North. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side, while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never bare, it was just locked.
What Brianna experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique works by citing economists or commentators who treat the household budget analogy as self-evident truth, as though repeating it makes it accurate. Think of tobacco companies in the 1960s citing doctors who insisted smoking was harmless, or pharmaceutical companies today funding research that downplays side effects. The authority comes not from independent analysis, but from selecting voices that confirm a predetermined conclusion. In Brianna's story, every official she spoke to cited the same constraint: there is no money. When she questioned this, she was told, "Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation." But which economists? The profession is divided on this question. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency availability. Yet the "economists say" formulation presents a contested viewpoint as settled science, an appeal to unnamed authority that deflects scrutiny. The UK government issues its own currency. It doesn't need to find pounds before it spends them into training programs. The real constraint is resources: qualified lecturers, equipped classrooms, motivated students. In Brianna's case, all of those existed. Empty training centres sat alongside unfilled nursing posts, while Treasury officials cited economic expertise to justify the disconnect. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Islington North ranks 118 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in deprivation decile 3. The constituency has 635 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Local organisations received £42.9 million in total grants tracked by 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics, produced by Blocked Britain.